Welcome to Be All You Are, a midlife awakening podcast. I'm your host, Kaina Paranjape. I'm a former corporate executive, two-time entrepreneur, and mama. I've worked with and partnered with major brands and even helped a celebrity launch an award-winning business. But I also believe that who we are is not just reflected on our LinkedIn profile. When I was 30, my husband became suddenly critically ill. And after 8 years of living with a difficult illness, he passed away. This experience taught me that we need to claim our dreams now, embrace all we are, and create an amazing life along the way. Today, I help women like you navigate through change and transition to their next level of freedom and fulfillment, whatever that looks like for you. This podcast is all about stepping into all you are. It's about reconnecting to your inner voice so you can hear the whispers of your deepest dreams and cultivate the courage and a plan to create the life that is waiting for you. Now head out on that solo walk or settle into a cozy spot with a favorite beverage and join me. Well, hello, beautiful friend. It has been a while, and I am so excited to be back with you in your ear, walking alongside you while you go on your morning walk, or maybe your evening walk, or on your commute. I'm just so glad to be back with you. And, you know, I've been kind of shaking things up a little bit. I think for all of us, when we get settled into a routine, things start to feel a bit formulaic, and then they're not fun anymore. And when they're not fun anymore, we kind of start to back off of them or not put in the same amount of heart into them. And I was starting to feel that that was happening in the different aspects of my business, where it just sort of felt like, oh, I have to write my newsletter. I have to get a podcast out. And we all know that have to energy is not nearly as powerful as I get to do this energy. And the truth is, I love what I do and I get to do it. And so when things feel frustrating for me or things start to lose their juice, I know it's not that there is necessarily a pivot that needs to be made in my business, but it means more so that I need to shake things up again, start asking myself questions, go a little bit deeper into the reason for all of this, for why I'm doing any of this. And that has resulted in a few shifts for me. So the first thing is I, for 3 years, have been writing a weekly newsletter called A Quiet Sunday Morning Note. You've got that right. It goes out every Sunday. And I've actually decided to retire that newsletter. And I'm actually going to be shifting now to a monthly note. And this will give me a little bit more space to be thoughtful, to create, and hopefully send you something that you just can't wait to read and that you, steal away and give yourself a little bit of time to dive into. So that's what's happening on that front. And then with the podcast, you know, for a while I was pretty good about weekly episodes. Then I went to bi-weekly. Then it was like when I can get it out. And the truth is, I love this podcast. I love speaking to you. I know that so many of you have come to get to know me and get to know what I do through this podcast. And I know that you have felt supported because of this podcast and the conversations that I have with guests and the solo episodes. So I am back and committed to bi-weekly, at least bi-weekly episodes, so at least two a month of this podcast. So we are back, and this is a kind of a solo episode. I'll explain in a moment. But yeah, we're back to a regular episode. So yay, you know, if you are not already subscribed to this podcast, hit follow. And I forget what you have to hit in Spotify, but on Apple Podcasts, you hit follow. And that way, every time a new episode drops, it'll show up in your latest episodes playlist. So you can go ahead and do that. And I promise you that I am being so deliberate and thoughtful about the content that I am bringing you going forward. Okay, so today what I'm sharing with you is a recording of a workshop that I held last week that is called Summer of Becoming, Welcome to Separation Season. And this workshop is so timely that I felt like, you know what, I want to get it into the ears of more people and into the hearts and minds of more people. So I've decided to share it today as an episode of the podcast. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it in a moment. But before I do, I wanted to mention what's happening inside Supernova. So if you are not familiar, Supernova is my membership community for women over the age of 35 who are ready to redefine success, step into their authentic power, and make their best years, their next years, their best yet. And Supernova is a virtual community. So we have members from all across Canada and the US, and now one person in New Zealand. You know who you are. And we are closing in on 100 members. I'm so excited about this. And I am offering something special to the next few members who join. So if you have been considering joining Supernova, if you have been thinking about it, if you've heard about it and want to know more, now is definitely the time to apply. And the great thing is you can apply, and applying, you know, doesn't mean that you are enrolled right away. Basically, I review your application and then I get back to you. And then that's when you enroll. So if you've been thinking about that, I encourage you to do it this week. So this is dropping on Friday. So, okay, maybe let me give you until Monday. I encourage you to do it as soon as possible, because for the next few members that join, I am offering a free 3-session bonus mastermind. This will be a small group, no more than 10 women. And it will be a bonus mastermind, 3 sessions with me, where we will dive into what your next chapter looks like, you know, what you want to create in your life, what's holding you back, and what are some next steps that you can take this summer to bring you closer to that vision. So if you want to learn more about Supernova, you can go to allyouare.ca /Supernova. I will also include the link to that in the show notes. And then all you have to do is apply, hit the apply button. And it's a very, very short form to apply. So that's what's going on in Supernova. We have some amazing things coming up this month in July. We have a beautiful breathwork session happening on July 8th. The following week, I'm hosting Supernova Circle, which is a which is time for women to come together and share whatever is on their heart and mind. It could be a business question. It could be a challenge they're facing. It could be an unlock they've had. It could be something you're celebrating. It could be just to not say a word and witness the other women. And it's a really, really wonderful way to connect. And then the third session of this coming month is a mid-year check-in. So it's all about where... let's pause and let's check in on where we are halfway through 2025. What goals did we start out with? How have things shifted in our lives? What would we like to still create in our lives towards the end of the year? What is the gap? How do we close that gap? We're going to have a wonderful conversation about that. So lots going on inside Supernova, more to come beyond July as well. So check out allyouare.ca/Supernova. And you are also welcome to book a call with me if you'd like to see if it's the right fit for you. All right. Okay. So today's podcast episode is a recording of a workshop that I hosted called Summer of Becoming, Welcome to Separation Season. And I created this workshop because I felt that there was a very strong narrative going on, you know, in general, with people feeling like, well, summer is the time to rest and I need to take time off and I need to, like, you know, shut my computer and go to my cottage. And I think that there, for some people, that is exactly what this time calls for. However, I think that, again, it's so easy to get caught up with what we think we should be doing at different seasons of our lives. And the message on this podcast has always been about tuning into your own voice, tuning into what you need. And if you find yourself sitting on that dock, buzzing with ideas, feeling this low level of anxiety because you have things that you want to create and you're like putting it off because you think you should be relaxing, I'm giving you full permission to take out your laptop and start working on those ideas. That's what the Summer of Becoming is all about. It's leveraging this expansive, gorgeous, energy-filled season, leveraging it in service of what it is that we want to create in our lives. And I think that if you are listening to this, you know if this is you. And if it's not you, that's totally cool too. I actually recommend you still listen to this episode because it may help you think about what's coming up in the fall, or it may help you think about the ways you do want to engage over the next couple of months, even while you're taking some downtime. So that's what the Summer of Becoming is all about. The second part of this workshop is called Welcome to Separation Season. And I think you've heard me speak about separation season before. It is a term that I first heard Ed Milet share on his podcast. And Ed Milet talks about separation season being the season where you really have the opportunity to separate yourself from others. Meaning, like, when everybody is zigging, you are zagging. When everybody's shutting off their computers and sitting on the dock and, you know, just taking time off, you are doubling down. So I don't want to take it that far. But what I do think this season is an opportunity to do is to separate from a past version of yourself. It doesn't need to be so competitive as let me get ahead of everybody else, but it's almost like a time to ask yourself, like, how can I release an old version of myself, step into a new version of myself during this season? So that's really what separation season is all about. And when we have a little bit more space and a little bit more energy to do that, it's an invitation truly to take that on, you know, like in the busyness of September or in even in January when everybody's back to work, that may not be the time, but this is the time to be more reflective, to evaluate, to explore, to get clear on our values, what's important to us, where we want to focus, similarly to what I just shared at the beginning of this podcast about how I'm going to shift my focus on the content that I create going forward. All right. Okay. I'm trying to make sure that I have covered everything with you. And I think that we're good. The last thing I want to mention is that in this workshop, I cover 7 keys to unlocking your Summer of Becoming. And I ask you to rank yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, where you are with each of these keys. So I want to ask you to grab a notebook and pen. I think it will be so wonderful for you to, if you're not driving, to follow along with this workshop, take notes. Rank yourself on the 7 keys. See where there's an area for you to step into this summer. And also to evaluate where you're good, you know? I can't wait to hear what you think. If you listen to this podcast and you love it, I would so appreciate if you would take a screenshot, share it, and tag me, or send me a DM and tell me which of the 7 keys spoke to you the most. I would love to hear from you. I would love to open up that dialogue. That's truly what I'm here for. And the more two-sided conversations I can have, the better. All right, beautiful friends. Thank you so much for listening, and you can now tune in to the Summer of Becoming workshop. Well, hello, everybody. I'm so glad you're here. And before we begin, I want to make sure that you have your notebooks and pens on hand because you'll likely want to take notes. You'll likely have things come up for you as we explore these 7 keys to your Summer of Becoming. So make sure you have a notebook and pen on hand. And you're going to see as we move through this time together, I'm going to be asking you reflective questions throughout. So please, like, you know, drop your answers in the chat, share. If there's time, I'll have you unmute and share if you're open to that, but definitely want to honor the time and make sure that I cover everything with you today. So we are here for a 90-minute workshop, Summer of Becoming, welcome to separation season. So summer is traditionally a time where we slow down, we take holidays, we spend time with family, we focus on enjoying life. And yes, absolutely. We need all those things, especially if, you know, we live in the northern regions where most of the year is pretty terrible. We want to make the most of this season, right? Yes to all of this. But this is also the time of year where we tend to feel the most alive. It's when we feel the most expansive and have more spaciousness and feel more possibility kind of coursing through our veins. So it's also an amazing time to tap into the abundance of the season and move closer to what it is that we desire. So whether that's for you an identity shift, whether it's a concrete goal or a vision, or simply you just want to feel a certain way, that's what this workshop is about. That is why it's called the Summer of Becoming. But part two of this workshop, Welcome to Separation Season, is equally important. So a separation season is a time typically where we have the opportunity to separate ourselves from the pack. So, you know, the holidays are a perfect example. At a time when most people kind of shut down and say, okay, I'm going to put this on pause until January. If we can choose to move more intentionally through that season and say, you know what, I am going to take time to recharge and rest, but I'm also not going to lose focus on the things that matter to me. That is a time that we not only separate from, you know, the herd, but we also separate from a previous version of ourselves. We choose a different path forward, honoring our own needs and our own desires. And so that's what summer tends to often be too. It's an opportunity to separate from a past version of ourselves. And we can use this time for creation, for progress, and for evolution. And let go of old patterns and old beliefs and all the things that no longer serve us so that we can step forward into what's next. And this workshop is all about releasing and realigning on what's calling you forward. So summer is a season for transformation and growth and an invitation to lean into where your soul is calling you to go in spite of the discomfort that that inevitably brings and move into a place of trust in the process. And when we listen to our soul's calling, when we trust in it and we take action from that place, we move towards a more aligned version of ourselves, but also a life that feels more aligned. So a few things that I want to invite you to hold in your heart as we explore these seven keys today. The first one is, can you begin to allow yourself to surrender to what your soul desires? I know that's a big question, but where do you feel called to go? You know, if the word soul kind of throws you off track and you're like, I don't know where my soul is calling me, but where do you feel called to go? Like when we get quiet, we often have a sense of what that is. And maybe you're not sure yet. You know, maybe you are tossing back and forth between your mind and your heart and your soul, a whole bunch of different ideas. But in that case, can you surrender to that curiosity? Can you surrender to being open to where you're being led? And a reminder that surrender is not about giving up. It's about softly trusting that you are being guided to go exactly where you need to. Right? So can you allow yourself to surrender to your soul? That's the first thing I want you to hold with you as we move through these seven keys. The second thing is that when you're ready for a season of becoming, asking, you're actually requesting to expand beyond a previous version of you. So when you are feeling like I'm ready to move into my next evolved self, right? That means releasing an old version of you. And that inevitably means being also asking to be shown where you are limited. So when we say, okay, I want to move forward, I want to expand, that immediately shines a light on where we feel limited. And not limited in a negative way, but in a way that points to where growth needs to happen. That's what it is. It's pointing us to where, ooh, that's where growth needs to happen. In order to get there, I have to move through that. And we're going to explore today how to get more comfortable with the discomfort of growth. Because when we can get more comfortable with it, then we can move through with greater ease and step fully into our becoming. Okay, so before we dive in, a quick intro. I know many of you on the call, but not everyone. And so welcome. I'm Kaina Paranjape. I'm the founder of All You Are, where I guide women over 35 through personal reinvention, identity shifts, and career and business growth and transformation. I'm also the founder of Supernova. Many of you on this call are members of Supernova, and that is a membership community designed to support women over the age of 35 in stepping into their power, redefining success on their own terms, and making our next years our best yet. And we are now 91 women strong inside Supernova, with a few women who are like, have said yes, but haven't kind of crossed the finish line yet. And I'm going to share more about Supernova later. But if you join us this month, you'll also be invited to a 3-session mastermind where we will explore your next era. So this will be a free 3-session mastermind, and it's only for the women who join in the next month. Before the end of the month. So I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned that. Beyond Supernova, I also offer one-on-one mentoring, and I've also created a 6-week small group identity accelerator. It's literally like an accelerator from my startup days, but it's about accelerating into the next version of yourself, and it's called Future You. So this is where I help women in a small group work together to step into the next version of themselves so that they can now start making decisions from the place of their future self. They can show up in their life from the place of their future self and really create the life that is really only been in their mind up until now. So that's what we do inside Future You. And I am here. I believe I am here on this planet to guide you through an evolution process. That's all about growth, trust, and intentionality. And if you'd like to explore what that means for you in this season of your life, whether that's Supernova, whether that's one-on-one mentorship, or whether it's Future You, we can talk about that further. And I'm going to be reaching out to all of you to set up a call. So we'll do that so we can get to know each other and just hear what's on your heart and what drew you to this workshop. Okay, and as we dive into the 7 keys for unlocking your summer of becoming, I want to remind you that depending on where you are on your journey, you might feel drawn to certain keys more than others. So this isn't about like giving you a checklist of 7 things you now have to do all summer. Definitely not. This is about honing in and tuning into which ones speak to you at this season of your evolution, which ones would unlock a next level for you. So in order to bring that clarity forward for you, I'm going to ask you to rate where you are when it comes to each key. And then that way, as we go through the 7 keys, you can say, oh, I'm a 4, but here I'm an 8. And then at the end, you can say, you can really see for yourself, these are the keys that are most calling to me. Right. So the first key that we are going to begin with is make peace a priority. So this key is number 1 for good reason. Have you ever responded to an email when angry or wound up and regretted it later? I know I have. And everybody tells you, don't send it, right? And you send it and then you regret it later. Or have you found the days where you feel low and notice that low feeling affected your perception of everything around you? But when you give it time to settle, when you give yourself time to ground and to feel peace within you again, you can respond much more intentionally and rationally. And the very next day, with nothing changed, you see your world in a completely different light, right? That is the power of inner peace. And feeling peaceful is different than feeling good, because when we're going through something difficult, it may not be possible to always feel good, but I believe we can always access peace. And inner peace is a state of mental and emotional calmness without worry, anxiety, or stress, right? It's not about necessarily feeling happy, but it's a state of calm where we're not focused on the future. And when we have inner peace, we can sit in the seat of our soul, right? It's almost this sense of like sitting back and watching our lives. And we have the spaciousness to now choose how we want to perceive a situation, a challenge, or even an opportunity in our life. And we're often told to focus on feeling good. But peace is even more powerful because it isn't fleeting, right? Like feeling good can come and go, but we can feel peace in almost any situation if we practice it. So making peace a priority involves taking full responsibility because it's an inside job. It's not circumstantial. It's not about what's happening around us. It's not the absence of challenges, but it's our ability to navigate them with a calm and accepting mind. So how do we cultivate and practice inner peace? There are many ways, but this is a simple, effective process that doesn't require, you know, taking a class or learning a new technique. And those things are all very powerful. And I think that there are many ways to access it, but this is a very simple way. And it's basically five steps. And the first step is to give yourself time to be quiet. It's so simple, but very difficult to do in the world that we live in, right? It's a constant barrage. We've also become addicted to the noise. So we can't like eat quietly. You know, it's like the TV is on or a podcast is on or we're scrolling our phone. There's constant inputs. But in order to access that peace within us, we need to give ourselves time to be quiet. So that's the first thing. The second is journaling. Again, so simple, right? All we need is a notebook and pen, but I actually host an entire workshop about journaling because that's how powerful I believe it to be. When we journal, we connect our heart to our hand, and we are basically speaking through our heart, you know, through the pen. And what we're doing is we're creating space between our thoughts and ourselves. Otherwise, our thoughts are just swirling around. And we can't ascertain, we can't discern, right? Like, what do I actually think? Because I'm having multiple thoughts that are, you know, conflicting and I can't tease it out. But when we journal, we can, it's like using a mirror, right? And it allows us to see the patterns, the questions we're asking ourselves, where we're getting stuck. It's extremely powerful. Then the third step is practicing radical acceptance. So accepting what is right now, in the moment, as it is, don't resist, right? Like even now there's a heat wave and it's so easy for us to be like, oh my God, it's so hot. I say that all the time. Just want to say, but, or it's raining, it's cloudy. It's been cloudy for days, right? But what if we just practice radical acceptance of what is, right? And then the fourth step is to bring yourself fully into the present moment. This is like almost, it's almost too simple for people. It's like, no, I want a more complicated path. But when we focus on the moment that we're in, like this moment right now, where I'm sitting, my view, sitting in front of you, communicating with you, when you are in the moment, you don't have space to think about something else because your focus is fully there. And for me, during the most challenging times of my life, like say, for example, being in the hospital with my husband when he was ill for almost a year before he passed away, being in the hospital with him in that moment, I was able to drop deeply into presence and realize that in that moment, everything was okay. Yes, I was worried about what was to come. Yes, I was worried about when was the doctor going to say. Those things are all true. But when I could pull myself into the present moment and say, everything is okay in this moment. We're here. He's here. He just smiled at me. His mom is there. Like, you know, we can find so much peace right here in the moment. And then the fifth step is to tune into what action we want to take from there. So asking ourselves, what do I need? What do I want? What is the right next step from here? And making a decision from that place and moving forward from that place is so much more intentional and so much more powerful than when we're frantically in our mind trying to pull out what to do next. So I would love to ask you now, on a scale of 1 to 10, How easy is it for you to access inner peace? With 10 being very easy, like you know how to drop in, and 1 being very difficult. I would love to hear. Okay, so this is why I'm going to ask you this throughout our time together, because you know, there may be some where you're a 9 and there may be some where you're a 4, and that's going to pull forward for you. First of all, it feels really good to be like, oh, I can access inner peace quickly. You know, I've got that. Or if it's something that is harder for you, this is the opportunity, right? How can I lean into this more and practice peace and realize that cultivating inner peace is a part of my becoming? It is a part of me stepping into a more powerful version of me. Okay. The next key number 2, conviction. So when I left my retail career 3 years ago to step into this work that I'd been doing on the side for quite a long time, I definitely did not know how it was all going to turn out. Like, I did not have a clear picture. I did not have a business plan. I did not have, like, you know, my steps all lined up, but I had conviction in what was calling me forward. So having conviction ultimately means to have certainty, a strong belief in where you're headed. And as you know, depending on where you are on your path, you may not know where your path is going. Right now, you might be in a place of uncertainty and you're like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where my business is going. I'm not sure where I'm taking my career. I'm not sure what's happening with my relationship. There could be so many places where you're not sure. But what you can begin with is having conviction in yourself and in your soul's path. And even if that language doesn't speak to you, it's believing in yourself ultimately, right? It's ultimately about having conviction that you are here for a reason and that you are meant to step fully into all that you are. And we can all be convicted about that, regardless of whether we know where we want to go or not. And, you know, it's interesting because especially at this stage of life, a lot of women feel a calling to try something new, right? Like they feel this sense like, you know, this path is maybe no longer for me anymore. It no longer feels aligned. I want to try something new. I want to grow. And they'll say to themselves and to others, you know what, I'm going to give it a year. I'm going to try this thing and I'm going to give it a year and I'm going to see. And if it doesn't work out, right? I'm sure some of you have heard other people say that. But what if it takes longer, right? What if it takes a lot longer? And how strong is your belief in your mission and in your vision? And do you trust that you can figure it out even without knowing the how? Because sometimes our calling, well, let me rephrase this, our calling should not be negotiable. You know, our vision for our lives should not be negotiable. So if a year is up and you're not where you want it to be, to me, that is an opportunity to dive deeper into expansion and to ask what is needed to reach the vision that you have for yourself, right? Versus saying, oh, well, I guess I'll just, you know, stop and probably stop way too soon. So conviction, having conviction is to cultivate deep trust in yourself and your journey, even when the path is unclear. And it's having the confidence to act and step forward, even without a perfect plan. This is one of the keys to your becoming. So I want to ask you again, how convicted are you about where you are headed? How certain? Let's hear it on a scale of 1 to 10. 7, Lauren. 10. Ooh, I love it, Paige. 8, 9. I love it, Jamila. I see that for you. That's great. I love the conviction. Okay, so I want you to lean into this conviction. This is super important because if you already have it, that's great. But it means that when you come across a challenge, when you come across the bumps in the road, when you come across discomfort, it's your conviction that is going to push you through it. So dig deeper, you know, dig your heels in and allow every challenge that you come across to be an opportunity to deepen your conviction and where you're headed. And you will see that happen for you. Absolutely. Okay. And what I would love actually for you to do right now, since there's so much conviction in this group, which I think is amazing, is to write down your why. So when we have conviction around something, there is a why behind it. There's a reason why we have that certainty. And I would love for you to, you can share it in the chat, or you can just share it or write it in your notebook. Write down your why. And what is driving that conviction? What is the why? So for me, it's about setting women free. For me, my why is that I believe that although we've made so many strides in society as women, that we internally don't have the freedom, that we still do a lot of people pleasing and holding ourselves back. And we need women to step forward more boldly and to feel free to be themselves and to make bold moves and to show up and to be seen. And so that's my why. I love it, Heather. Helping women in midlife feel confident and badass in their clothes, no matter what size they are. Yeah, that's a big why, and you're absolutely doing it. Vinita, I have a big why. This is why I do what I do. Journalism and information is democracy, but the small conviction how to do that every day or every year changes. Yes, absolutely. And I think it's bringing yourself back to that deep why and even going a little bit further, a little deeper, Vinita, which is journalism and information is democracy, but why is that important to you? You know, going even deeper into that why. Emmy says, make women feel less alone through my stories. Yes, that's so beautiful. And every time you come across a challenge, if you can remember that there is a woman who will be impacted by your story, then that immediately becomes not about just you and your experience. It's about the impact that you're meant to have here. To help women, Jamila says, to help women understand they don't need to succumb to the aches and pains of aging, that we can be proactive and prevent many of these issues through nutrition and lifestyle. Yes, it's so empowering, right? I mean, I feel like for women, if they feel empowered to navigate this period of time with less aches and pains of aging, what can we do? Like for me, I feel like this time of life, I'm on fire, and it's those, and not on fire because of hot flashes. I actually don't get hot flashes. That's not one of my symptoms, but I'm on fire in terms of the energy that I have and the way I want to contribute. And yet I have to navigate this period of life, right? So I think that's so important, Jamila. It's like going deeper into understanding you're not just helping them with their aches and pains. You're helping to set them free so they can be their best selves, so they can contribute, right? I love it. Josette says, I'm a new health coach. My why is because everyone deserves to be healthy and know how to connect to themselves. Yes, yes. And what is the outcome of that health, right? It's not only health, but then it's well-being. And then it's, again, what's the ripple effect of that well-being on community and how someone is able to contribute to society? Andrea says, helping women in midlife gain more agency of their health through holistic wellness and care. Yes, so good. These are so great. Okay, amazing. All right, the third key is willingness. So how willing are you to try, to fail, to grow? And I would love to hear from you, what's one area where fear of failure is holding you back? So I'm asking this question straight out of the gate with this one. So for key number three is willingness. What's one area where fear of failure is holding you back? I'd love to hear it in the chat. Is it posting on LinkedIn? Is it hosting a workshop? Is it going for a job or a role that is like above where you've been in the past? Is it dating? It could be really anything in your life where fear of failure is holding you back. Heather, planning a big Dottie event. I've always wanted to do one, but I keep holding back on planning it. No idea why. Yes. Ooh. I feel like you would create an amazing event, Heather. I feel like you are such a cheerleader for other people's events and for you to host your own and all the women are there and wearing their Dottie clothes. Oh my gosh. This is an important question because we all have those areas that we avoid. And so even if you don't share it in the chat, I really encourage you to write this down. Write it down for yourself. so that you can sort of reflect on it later and say, what's happening here? Because mastering willingness is what separates those who stay stuck or spin or even retreat, right? Even go backwards from those who rise up. So willingness is the key to unlocking our growth, even when we don't know what lies ahead. So as I've been running this new business for the last several years, there was a time where I did a course, and in the course, they teach you to kind of like host a 5-day launch. Okay? So this is a 1-day workshop. Sometimes I do 3 days, sometimes I do longer, but this was a 5-day workshop and I had never done that before. And I managed to get quite a lot of signups, and I think like 100 people signed up for it or something like that. And on the first day, there were people who showed up. And then as the week went on, it went down, which is classic. That's the way it works. And at the end of that week, I basically shared, or throughout the week, I was sharing the program that I was offering. And I think I got one sale. Okay. So it was like all this effort, all this energy, you know, all the emails, the follow-up, the content creation, the delivery, you know, connecting with all the women, and no one showed up, you know, and that's what's required. That's what's required when we want to move into our next level, right? When we are in a season of becoming. So willingness doesn't mean you don't get disappointed or that, you know, you just like count on the outcome being exactly what you want. It means that you're willing to move through all of that in order to reach your goal. That's what it's about. And when you think about it, how many people are truly willing, right? They're willing to maybe change their LinkedIn profile to say health coach. They're willing to do the certification. They're willing to maybe put up a post on LinkedIn. But what if no one bites? Then what, right? Are you willing to let your ego be bruised? Are you willing to be judged potentially? Are you willing to be disappointed? Are you willing to fail? Are you willing to lose? Are you willing to even be made fun of? Because I can pretty much guarantee you that anyone who has stepped fully into their becoming and into what is meant for them experienced all of those things. And I know that I certainly have. But willingness is the secret to moving beyond where so many people get stuck. It's like this sense of adventure. You know, it's like the more willing you are to learn to lean into discomfort and even into failure, the more you'll be able to move forward and grow. And it's again, like we want things to work out. We want to prepare. We want to be thoughtful about how we're moving forward. But what if we're willing to say, you know what, I believe that this can work, but if it doesn't, I'm willing to try anyway. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how willing are you to do what it takes to create the vision that you see for your life or business? Okay, that's a really high number. So that means that anything that you know that is needed as part of your becoming process, you are willing to do it. You're willing, whatever the thing is that you said, the next step is this, but this makes me nervous. This means you're willing to do it. That's the declaration you're making today. That's really powerful. Okay, hold on. Somebody, Andrea. Yes, can I ask a question based on what you just shared? Yes, please. Of course, Andrea. You can even unmute if you'd like.
Hi. So as you mentioned the story, you had 50 signups and by the last day, there was one sale. And even with the willingness, the ego bruising, and just keeping to push forward, do you have support groups, resources like to share these with beyond just friends? Because I'm in the stage of launching something new, yes, leaving a big corporate career in real estate and finance, and yes, and pivoting into health and wellness, and looking to build a platform of some sort. But you know, your friends have known you as, or maybe known you as a retail executive for a very long time, mm-hmm, gone to all the schools, done all those things, and then it's like you're gonna like, even
yeah,
though
they get
support,
it,
you can sense the doubt because, you know, it's that they have their own doubts about doing anything beyond their corporate careers. So what resources do you reach out to when you want to share, like, oh, how do I keep going forward? Maybe your family is helpful, but if there's any other
Yes. Oh, no, this is such a great question, Andrea. I feel that equally important to all of these seven keys is that community part, right? You need people who are on a similar path to you, and it's not like you have to like let go of the people who aren't on that path, but you do need to gather around you the people who are, because otherwise it does feel like you're the only fish swimming upstream and the rest of them are going downstream, right? Like that's what it feels like. Whereas if you find your people, and whether that's in the form of a mastermind group, a coach, a community, just actively making friends with other entrepreneurs or people who are in a similar position, that's one of the things we do inside Supernova, our membership. Like I think Heather even just made a comment in the chat where she said, "We're here for you," right? And that's what we're doing inside Supernova. It's really about women taking bold steps into their next era and making those shifts. I think it makes sense that that's what's coming forward for you. It's like you have the conviction, you're willing, but how do you like bring that support around you? And those are some of the ways I would recommend. And I would absolutely love to chat with you more about that one-on-one. So let's do that. So this is a big one. And so whether you answered lower on the scale or high on the scale, I want you to identify an area where you are now willing to embrace discomfort to grow. So is it taking a business risk? Is it investing in yourself? Is it speaking up more? Is it showing up in a different way? This is a really important question to answer. So if you could share in the chat, what is one area? If you have the willingness, which it sounds like a lot of you do, I think everyone was above a five. Some of you were at a 10. What are you willing to embrace? Or where are you willing to embrace discomfort in order to grow? So, Heather, for you, maybe it's like setting a date for your event, right? Or maybe actually letting yourself sit down and think about what could that be? Meeting new women specifically, connecting and networking. I love that, Lori. You definitely can do that inside Supernova. So many women for you to connect with. Okay, keep dropping those. Investing financially. Josette, I love that. That's so powerful. Getting organized in my financial admin. Yes. Fear is public speaking, although I feel like I have so much to say. Yes. Yes, Jamila, I love that. So for you, it's like, what if you even gave yourself the challenge to go live once a week? But like, let's lean into those areas. If we have the willingness, and the willingness is very much tied to conviction, right? If we're convicted, we're like, I believe in myself. I believe in where I'm headed. I know this is needed. And then we're willing to move through any discomfort to bring that to life, to step into our becoming. Then it's like, okay, let's talk about what it is. Key number four. We're on key number four now. And key number four is about a bias towards action. So we just talked about willingness, right? We talked about leaning into discomfort. Everyone who has worked with me knows that I have an extreme bias towards action and the reason is that we can spend so much time planning, preparing, listening to more podcasts, talking to more people, even writing more in our journal, creating decks, creating websites, doing all the things. But until we take action out in the world, we haven't signaled to the universe that we're ready and that it's time for it to step in, for the universe to step in and co-create with us, to make magic with us, right? It's when we take action that now the opportunities come and somebody hears about what you're doing and then they introduce you to somebody or then you see like a speaking opportunity, right? All of this happens when we take action. Taking action is empowering. And it immediately starts building our confidence, especially if we're moving into a new area in real time. And guess what? There's no skipping over that. There's no going from, I've never done this before, to I'm amazing at it. And like I'm successful and top of the world, and everybody knows about me and comes to me. We don't go from A to Z like that. We have to actually move through steps. Now, can we shorten the steps? Can we shorten the amount of time that it takes for us to get there? Absolutely. but it requires a bias towards action. It requires moving and learning and responding to that and then, you know, continuing. So how quickly do you go from idea to execution? And this is not about anybody being wrong, but it is an opportunity to say, like, could I be faster? Do I need this much time? One of the things that I do when I work with clients is they'll say, oh, I'm going to do this 6 months from now. You know, I need to focus on this. Then I need to focus on that. I'm like, what would it look like if you were to do it in 1 month or 2 months? You know, what if we were to try to actually get it going this month? So how quickly do you go from idea to execution? And then even going further to that question around how quickly do you go from idea to execution? It's what's the gap between knowing what you want to do and actually doing it? So for you, Heather, you just said, you know, the knowing what you want to do is this event. And what is the gap between knowing you want to do something and actually doing it? I think that's something that for all of us, we can evaluate. When we get stuck in action, and I know we've all been there, right? There's like this point where we're not moving and maybe we have a lot sort of bubbling up for us, but we're not ready to move on it yet. But the longer we sit in that, the more we start to question, the more we start to doubt, right? The more we get focused on the fear that we have around what it is that we desire. But when we move into action, this is when we start to breed confidence and we start to breed courage. And those two in motion only get stronger. And so if you want to conquer any fear about anything, we do not want to sit home and think about it. We want to get out there and get busy. And, you know, Andrea asked that beautiful question. If that feels scary, we need to find somebody to hold our hand while we're doing it. We have to find the people who are on the path with us, who understand what we're doing. Because otherwise, you know, if we're not speaking to the right people, there are people who will be like, well, why do it then? Why are you doing that? That seems like a lot of energy. I don't know if that's going to work. There's so many health coaches. Like, there's so many people. Why? You know? And then we step further back. So finding the people who are on the path, who see what you see, who believe in what you are trying to create, that is what gives you the courage to take action and the courage to feel like you're not alone in it. Yes, I know. Okay, so on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your current bias towards taking action? And a bias towards action, again, is how quickly you move into action. I'd love for you to set a simple goal that you can take action on within the next 24 hours. And don't overthink it. This should be something that comes up for you very naturally. I can move quickly, but struggle with the end goal. Yeah, and this is where we can get into overthinking, right, Lori? I think this is where if we're willing to take action for the sake of action, honestly, like I'm moving, then we're going to get an input back. And that helps inform our next action. Yes, Femi, what if life gets in the way? I mean, I think for what you're sharing, Femi, is always to give yourself grace, right? Always give yourself grace, but then ask yourself, what could taking action look like given the circumstances I'm in, right? What would feel empowering given the circumstances I'm in? And feel free to share it here. If there's something that's coming forward for you, let's declare it here. We can all be witness to it. And a venue for my event in November. Beautiful, Lauren. I love that. It's so specific. And I would love for you to share in the next 24 hours, if you did, take action. I can look up the courses available to me at U of T for September to help start my year of study fellowship. Yes. I love it, Heather. It's so good. I'm doing a Dottie event. Pick a date in October. Yes. So good. Okay. So for those of you who are listening to this recording, I want to hear about the action that you are taking in the next 24 hours. Pitch my new workshop to a couple of contacts, meet with one new headhunter. Yes. Key number 5. So just to recap really quickly, key number 1 was make peace a priority. So this is all these things that we're doing is from a place of peace. It's the foundation. Number 2 was have deep Conviction, unwavering conviction, unwavering certainty, firm belief in where we're headed and that we are meant to be on this path, right? The third is a willingness to be uncomfortable, a willingness to face what scares us, a willingness to move in that direction, even though it doesn't always feel good, right? It doesn't feel good always to move in towards things that are us, or where we are worried about being judged. And I think for those of you transitioning in midlife to different careers, I completely get that. I was sharing with somebody in a call yesterday that I, for the first year that I started my new business, I would often like every post that I made, I would have like the picture of my old CEO in my mind. His face would always come into my mind. And I'm like, get out of here. Why am I thinking about you? But yeah, you're picturing them. And then slowly over time, I was able to picture the woman I'm speaking to. So now when I post things on LinkedIn, I'm sure there's lots of people who are like looking at my LinkedIn posts like, what is she talking about? But I am not worried about them. I'm speaking to the woman who needs to hear what I'm sharing. And that's the shift. So it's the willingness to move through that transition. Key number four is a bias towards action. And that's literally, I move quickly into action. Okay. Key number five is taking the right action. So if you're not moving at all, which it just sounds like most of you are, any action is better than none. But once you've started moving and you've started taking a lot of action, it's really important to evaluate the actions you are taking. I've worked with so many women who spend hours trying to get their website right and going back and forth and like, let's read over this copy. And when really, honestly, at the beginning of something like this, you could just use a Google Doc. You don't even need a website. Even Supernova, the membership community, which is now almost at 100 women, started, I think, up to like 40 women with a Google Doc, no website at all. The other thing we can do is we can spend time on things that make us feel busy, like posting on Instagram or posting on LinkedIn, when most of our clients might actually come at the beginning through referral, right? So you want to focus your effort towards what will move the needle for you. And if you're not sure yet what that is, tune into what you think it might be. So again, that like, you know, coming back to peace and asking yourself what is needed. And then go and test that out. But again, we don't want to let all the shoulds, you know, you should do this, you should be doing this, you should be showing up on Instagram every day, you should be, you know, whatever, whatever. And then we listen to all the podcasts and the podcasts tell us this and one podcast tells us that. And this is the framework that you should be using. Instead, we need to focus on what we are creating, whether it's in life or in business or in our career, and think about what would move the needle. What are the activities that would move the needle? You get to decide what those right actions are. So I'd love to hear what's an action you're taking that feels like busy work, but it's not really actually helping you progress. Do you feel like there's anything like that? I know for me, for a long time, I think it was Instagram, to be honest. I felt like I needed to show up there, you know, 5 days a week or 4 days a week and constantly be creating content. But when I thought about my goals, I realized that, yes, that's an important part to have a presence there. But when I thought about the right actions, the one that would lead me to what I wanted to move towards, it was more about cultivating relationships. Yeah, social media can feel like busy work, content creation. Yes. And this is where, you know, again, an opportunity for you to tune into where you are in your business and not just your business, in your life, and asking yourself, what do I need? What do I need right now that will bring me closer to my goal, that will move the needle for me? Yeah. Okay. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much effective action are you taking? So not just action, but effective action. Like whatever brought you here, how much effective action are you taking towards that vision for yourself? Eight. Yes. Oh my gosh, Vinita, what you said. I've dropped a lot of my earlier busy work at my job, but busy work on the domestic front is taking up too much time. My household, kids, et cetera, will be fine without me micromanaging. Hell yes to that. Honestly, I
That takes
think
up
that.
so much time.
Yeah. And I think it's so easy as women for us to feel like we should be doing all of that, you know? One of the things that I made a commitment to myself at the beginning, no, at the beginning of last year was because, you know, I don't like, you'll know this about me, but I don't like to use labels. And so I don't want to use the word single mom, but I mostly am raising my daughter on my own, right? And I have a business. And so it's a lot of things, but I committed to myself at the beginning of last year that I was going to have somebody come and clean the house twice a month. And that was non-negotiable, meaning it wasn't depending on what was happening in my business. It wasn't depending on whether I felt I had time or not. It was actually a commitment to myself that it was something that I was just going to remove from my roster of things to do. And I think this is the types of powerful decisions that we have the agency to make if we give ourselves permission to make them, you know? So I love that you shared that. Closer to a five. Yeah, but up until a few months ago it was a four. Yes, beautiful. Okay. Well, let's talk about this a little more. What is one action that we could stop doing? Like Vinita shared, you know, I don't know, Vinita, if you have something specific that you know you could stop micromanaging and step away from, but what is one action that you could stop doing, right? That maybe is either like taking up time or feels like busy work or feels like something you should do, but isn't actually moving you towards what it is that you want. And what is one new high impact action that you could start? So one action to stop doing and one action to start. I need to do something to get out of the house so I don't focus on the house chores. Yes. Morning meditation, intention setting, and leverage LinkedIn contacts to do more personal outreach. Yes. I love these, and I hope that you're writing these all down for yourself, because as we are moving through these keys, and as you're journaling in your notebook, you're essentially creating a blueprint for yourself this summer, like a list of ways of being and actions that you want to take that are allowing you to step into your becoming. That, and they're so simple, but they are so impactful. Yes, stop scrolling for a dopamine hit when work is challenging. I love that, Leah. You know, one of the ways that I help to mitigate that is I use the a Pomodoro timer, you know, which is just a 25-minute timer, and you can find them online. I don't know why I like using the ones online, but I just use it and then it clicks and it kind of starts ticking. And then for those 25 minutes, I completely focus on what I'm doing. And anyone cannot look at their phone for 25 minutes, right? But I think that there's some discipline around knowing that the clock is ticking down and that I'm 100% focusing on what I'm doing until that bell rings. That allows me to kind of stay tuned into that versus saying, oh, I'm not going to check my phone ever. So now we are on key number six. Key number six is consistency. So one of the most powerful insights that I have learned on my journey really is that what you do consistently now shapes your future. I mean, even if you look at the week ahead of you, if you look at the 5 days ahead of you and what you plan to do every day, whether it's towards any goal, fitness, relationship, you know, business, career, whatever it is, whatever you are doing this week on a consistent basis is going to show up in your life 90 days from now. And I think that that awareness really puts more emphasis on the present and what you're doing now, because what you're doing now may not see a result now. It takes time. It takes building it up, and in all areas of life. Again, whether it's a relationship or it's a fitness goal or it's career or it's business, it's what we do now that shows up in our life 90 days from now. So what habits or small actions are you consistently doing that align with your goals? And so on a scale of 1 to 10, how consistent are you being about taking action towards your goals and your dreams? What would you say? Great. That's so great. These are so great. Okay. So like, I think it is once you have moved into having a bias towards action, you have determined what are the right actions. So again, it's not like consistent busy work. It's consistent right actions. And then it's, yeah, okay, I am showing up and I am doing these as, you know, as often as I feel that is necessary in order to see the results 90 days from now. So again, it's not about hustle. It's not about feeling like we're on a hamster wheel, but it is about knowing in what I'm doing, because I am broadening my network, I'm broadening my reach. For me, it's about consistently connecting with at least 5 new women every day. Whether that's reaching out to them on LinkedIn or whether it's a referral, it's making a meaningful connection with 5 new women every day. For me, that is like what I would be committed to consistently. So I would love for you to share, given what we just reviewed about having a bias towards action and then taking the right action, what is one consistent action that you will commit to for the next 30 days? What could that be? It doesn't have to be big, but it has to be something that will help you see the results that you want to see 90 days from now. Vinita, you believe it's journaling. Absolutely. Yeah. So what does it look like for you to journal every single day? Do you buy a new journal or start a new journal and go on this 30-day journey, right? Journaling journey. Yeah. Maybe I should do the journaling workshop next. I'm going to go over my numbers, my finances, sales taxes, et cetera. I used to avoid my financials. Yes. Yes. There's so much power in embracing them. And it's also, again, a part of your becoming, Heather. If you are wanting to expand your business and reach more women with it, like, and be the boss that you are, owning your financials is a part of that, right? Leaning into what might have made you feel uncomfortable in the past and being willing. Minimum 3 outreach for offer a day. Yes, Layla. And that doesn't take a lot, right? It really doesn't if you've prioritized it. Lori, consistently putting my phone in another room at bedtime. Yes. Yes, get it out of there. And you know, once you've decided on your thing that you want to do for 30 days, I really invite you, I don't think I have it here, but if you have like an actual paper calendar, go old school or even print out a month calendar but what I do is I have an actual paper calendar. And when there's something that's important to me that I really want to get done, I will make an X in the box so that I can actually see that I did it. And when you like skip a day, you're like, I don't like that blank. I don't like that blank square, right? So you go back to the X's, but it's very visual. It's very satisfying. You kind of get a little bit of a dopamine hit every time you cross off a box. And it's staying committed, right? Staying committed to what you have said you were going to do consistently. Okay. Yes, Vinita. You know, it's funny that you share that because I'm on a similar journey. I do so much writing for my work now, and I've forgotten about how much I just love to write. So I am also going back to a journaling practice. We can all do it together. Okay. Okay, so yes, one consistent action that you can commit to over the next 30 days, even if you haven't shared it in the chat, I hope that you've written down what that is for you. All right, key number 7, we are on the last key, and that is to measure effort over outcome. This is a big one because we all want to see results, right? We want to see results. But oftentimes we make an effort and perhaps we don't see the results that we wanted right away. And then we can tell ourselves a story that it isn't working. And when really it just isn't working yet, right? That's the biggest thing. And I see so many of us, what we'll do is we'll take a few steps forward and then we don't see the results that we want, or maybe a conversation goes sideways, or maybe somebody doesn't respond to our email. And then we tell ourselves a story about why that might be. And then we spend a day feeling bad about it. And I think, you know, when we focus so much on the outcome, especially when we are kind of earlier on the path, it can feel discouraging. But when we start to focus on the effort we are putting in, so like even just describing what we just talked about, right? Like for Layla, if she reaches out to 3 people every day, celebrating the fact that you're being consistent in your business, that you are reaching out to three people every day, that we're making this effort, is a powerful way to own our own becoming. And that it's not about outcomes outside of us that we can control, but it's about what we are doing to step into being that person who can create that outcome. The person who can create that outcome is absolutely doing the work on a daily basis, is absolutely honing in on what they need to be doing in order to create that life, right? Or to build up that vision for their life. So for example, if you were wanting to build a presence on LinkedIn, right? That's a common example. You wouldn't just post 5 times and then get a minimal response and then quit, right? Like that would be a way to sort of say like, nobody cares about what I'm posting. I only got 1 like, right? Instead, you build conviction around your goal. You build conviction about your why and who you're here to help and who you want, what you want to create. Then you take that consistent action and then you work on your messaging so that you're taking the right action, not just, you know, posting for the sake of posting. And then you measure your efforts. And again, I think a paper calendar is a great way to do this. So I would highly recommend that. So I want to ask you, do you feel that you are measuring your progress based on your results or on your effort right now? What would you say? So this is an opportunity. I think this is a huge opportunity to focus on our efforts and realizing that ultimately when we focus on our efforts, we are becoming the person who makes that outcome a reality. That is it. So we can't control outcomes, but we can control the effort we put into creating the outcome we want. And I guarantee you that if you are focused on your efforts and you are consistent with them and you have conviction around where you're headed, that momentum is inevitable. It will come, absolutely. And it's only that when we get discouraged by not seeing the results that we want, that we tend to shrink back, we hold back, and we're so close, right? Like we could be so close. We could be just like a few weeks away, a month away, if we were to stick with the effort that is required. I mean, you know, people say this often, but it's so true. If it was easy, everyone would do it, right? If it was easy to expand and grow and move into a next level of who you know you're meant to become, then everyone would do it, but not everyone does. But you are different, right? You are here because you know that that is within you. And so let's shift that paradigm and let's measure effort over outcome. And that will keep you motivated. And it will also put your focus on what you're doing and less on the results of it, right? And then the results will come. Okay. So I'd love for you to choose one task where you will measure your effort and not just the outcome. I don't know if this for you may be different than what we shared in the previous question around consistency, but what is one task where it would benefit you to measure the effort and not just the outcome? So for me, it's the same as reaching out to women. I am focused on the effort. Okay, so those are the 7 keys. Okay, Andrew's asking, what are your thoughts on creating podcasts with regards to effort? Andrea, can you maybe unmute and tell me more?
Well, again, I'm still really in the very beta stages of putting this all together because it's only been a couple weeks where I really crystallized where I want to go and what I want to do. But a couple of people have mentioned maybe you should start doing podcasts. But podcasts are like a whole new level of effort. I mean, yes. I've only started doing content creation, learning how to use Instagram from like more of a business standpoint, playing around with writing a few, you know, articles and newsletters and whatnot. That's pretty self-directed. But yes, when you go the podcast route, you start really having to think through audiovisual, finding people, really finding content, creating that content, recording.
Yes, it's a whole other work stream for sure.
Right. And so I think I've listened to one or two podcasts that you've done. Have you found that that effort has been rewarding, even though I know we're not supposed to be focused on the results, but you know.
No, I think it's a great
embracing podcasts is like a whole new endeavor.
Yes. Okay. So one quick thing that I would say here is that I think this is partly leaning into what feels right for you, or not partly, fully leaning in, because there are so many options and they're all good options, right? But it's more about what feels good for you, because if it feels good for you, you'll do it and you'll enjoy doing it and you'll be good at it. So what I would recommend for anyone who is considering starting a podcast is start by, this is what I did, and it really helped me decide. I wrote a what's it called? A trailer. I wrote a trailer for the podcast. Like, if I'm gonna start a podcast, what would I call it? Don't spend too much time on that. What would I say in the trailer? Hi, my name is Kena. I'm the host of blah blah blah, right? And what would I say? This podcast is about blah blah blah. This is for you if blah blah blah, you know? Then I wrote that down. And I recorded myself saying it just with my phone. And then I played it back. Now, when I did this, I played it back and I was like lit up from within. I was like, oh my God, I need to start a podcast. I need to talk about these things. I have to do this. For somebody else, it's like, oh my gosh, that was like felt so like hard and so much work and so much effort. So I would say at this stage early on, is there a merit to starting a podcast? Absolutely. I love my podcast. I'm actually rearranging a little bit of my content so I can spend more time on it. And I love hosting it. I love creating it. I love all of it. But for a lot of people, and I think the stats are insane, it's like 95% of people, podcasts don't get past 5 episodes. So you don't want to go into all that effort and not, again, stay committed and consistent and all of those things. So that's a really fun way, I think, Andrea, to just try it out and see if that's something you might want to do now or later. I hope that's helpful. So the 7 keys that I shared with you today, I just want to reiterate that they are not meant to be items on your to-do list, right? They are inviting you to a way of being, to stepping into your summer of becoming, in a way that is more grounded, more peaceful, and more intentional. So these 7 keys are a shift into honoring who you are becoming and what you desire for your life. And they're not meant to feel overwhelming, but it's meant to remind you that you have the resources within you and that resources are available to you as well to support you on this journey. And for those of you that I haven't already worked with or I'm not already working with, so given what we kind of covered today together, which of the 7 keys is speaking the most to you? Which is the one where you're like, I'm feeling like I'm leaning in here. This is where I feel is a true unlock for me.
I'm just going to go off mute for a second because something that's like really blaring in my mind from what you said today was, and I think it's a huge perspective shift for me, anyways, is when you were talking about imagining your old CEO and sharing that, just instead of talking to those people when you're doing it, to imagine the people you're actually talking to. Where I think that's going to change a lot for me because I feel like I am thinking of those people when I create the topic and what I want to say and some of the copy. But when I actually go to put it out there, it's muddied with everyone. And I think really just being like, those are the people I'm talking to, and I'm just imagining those people, it will really clear that up. But I think that's probably my biggest takeaway.
Oh, I love that, Layla.
I'm just gonna picture those people now.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I mean, that really ties to your conviction too of like who you're here to help, right? And the difference that you want to make. So I love that. I love that that's what came through for you. So the last question I want to ask you is, what is one way of being or action step you feel called to move towards after this workshop is over? So after this workshop is over, what is one way of being that maybe you feel that you've felt a shift in how you want to be, or an action step that you want to move towards? I want to move towards owning my power. Remember, I'm worthy of having a huge brand. Yes, Heather. Absolutely. And I love that you have that ambition. I'm working on being peaceful, starting there first. It's beautiful. unapologetic and consistent, reaching the people I'm convicted to helping consistently without worrying about others. Yes. Beginning journaling and making time for peace. I love these. And what I'm going to do post-call is I'm going to send you a little recap of this sheet. And what I want you to do is to rank yourself again on the seven keys, and maybe in another month, pull it back out and see how it shifted for you. Leah says, I think I might start doing some outreach. That makes me super nervous, but if I'm confident what I'm doing, that's worth sharing. Yes, Leah, I think that's a huge next step for you. Outreach is huge. You know, it's like you're not waiting for somebody to come to you. And you have to remember that the world is so busy, right? It's hard for people to even hear what you're sharing because there's just so much noise. And if you drop in, right, and connect with them directly, oftentimes whatever you sensed, like whatever brought you to want to connect with them, it's often true, right? And so they'll respond in kind. I love that. Josette, consistent journaling and reflection. Lauren, I've been wanting to launch my website for so long, but I keep getting stuck around whether my services were the right ones or not. Yes, you won't learn until you launch. I love it. You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Okay, so yes, the last thing I want to say to you is to invite you to deepen this work beyond this call, right? You have the questions, you can look through them, you can journal on them, make it a part of your journaling practice. And then again, for those of you who are not already members of Supernova, I will be reaching out to you one-on-one so that we can chat more about what the community is like. We can also talk about one-on-one mentoring or my future you experience, if that's something that it feels aligned for you at this time in this season of your life. I want to thank you so much for being here. And please also feel free to reach out to me anytime if you need support as you move forward into your summer of becoming. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a beautiful, beautiful day.
Thank you for tuning in to today's show. I hope you found inspiration and use this podcast to start stepping into all you are. You can find information that was shared in today's show just below in the show notes. If you love this conversation, please share it with others so they can benefit from it too. You can take a screenshot of this episode and tag me on Instagram, or share a link via text or email to a friend. Let's be clear, we need more women stepping into all they are. So go ahead and share away. And of course, subscribe to the podcast so that you receive the latest episodes every week, and take a quick moment to rate it and leave a review. Thank you so much. Until next time, remember to keep exploring what it means to be all you are.